This is Stephen Strang. One of the commentators that I respect more than anyone else is Dennis Prager. He's on the Salem Network with a radio show every day. He also has done Prager University. We watch it at our home. And he has something called the Fireside Chat. And I was privileged to be able to interview him in person and interviewed him about what's going on in America. It's an exclusive interview. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
As a journalist, I've been able to interview a lot of interesting people, but one of the most interesting was Dennis Prager. I flew out to California. I had the privilege to be on his program and talk about my book, Trump Aftershock. And then he agreed to do an interview in which we talk about what's going on in America. We talk about Christians voting. He expresses his opinion about Donald Trump and about immigration and a lot of things. I used nearly everything he told me in my new book, which is called God, Trump, and the 2020 Election. It's going to be out January 14th. That's a long time from when I'm recording this. We didn't talk about the book. We talked about what's happening in America, and I was able to incorporate his comments. So here is my interview with Dennis Prager, and I'll be back at the end with a few more comments. Dennis Prager, there's a big election coming up in 2020, and of course there was a lot at stake in 2016. What do you think is at stake this time that maybe is different than 2016?
Well, first, it's a joy to be with you, and thank you for having me. Second, I took a vow 35 years ago when I started radio, I would always say what I believed, and so let me tell you, though it may seem to undermine a little bit of what I'm about to say, it doesn't, but I want you to understand where I come from. 2016 was the most important election in modern American history, certainly since the Civil War. And had Donald Trump not won, had a Republican not won, let me be very precise, I do believe we would have lost our country, certainly in my lifetime, and perhaps through the lifetime of my children. That is how important I consider the last election. He has done so much good, Donald Trump, to the surprise of many of us, including those of us who supported him, that this is the second most important election. But I cannot overstate the importance of the last one. This is the second most important, which is pretty important, but I wanted to give a background to that. Much of what he has done can be undone if a Democrat wins. The Iran deal, every single one of the 20 candidates asked about it, running for president or for the nomination for president of the Democratic Party, is for going back to the deal which enriched the Iranian government, the most dangerous government on earth, with billions of dollars, and ultimately permission to make a nuclear weapon in any event. So that's just one example of what will be undone. Obviously, all of the judges that would be appointed, there would be zero movement on immigration. I mean, overwhelmingly, there is an understanding by non-left-wing Americans, even many liberals understand this, that the illegal immigration numbers have reached a tipping point where you no longer have the same values your country had. The issue is not race. I say this all the time to prove that it has nothing to do with race. New Yorkers do to Florida what Latin Americans do to America. Since that's nothing to do with race. New Yorkers are the same race as Floridians. They bring values. They bring New York liberal or left-wing values. Nearly every immigrant from Latin America brings big government values because this is the only country on earth, the United States, that has a limited government value. There is no other country in the world founded on the basis of limited government. So these people are bringing in values that are not American. That doesn't mean they're bad. They're often wonderful human beings. Mature people understand nice people can wreck civilization. Minnesota sends awful people to Congress, and yet I agree with the concept of Minnesota nice. There are so many nice people in Minnesota. Nice people is a micro issue. Wise people is a macro issue. And nice and wise are not the same. And without wisdom, you have no chance for a society to succeed. Anyway, the point being, what is at stake in this election is everything that the president did.
In 2016, a lot of people thought that Hillary Clinton was going to be coronated, you know, that it was her turn, it was going to be a cakewalk. You know, she even believed this to the extent that she didn't go to places like Wisconsin because she didn't think she needed to. This time, the left is woken up, no pun intended.
Right.
But when I look at the 20 people that you referred to on the debates the other night, other than Biden, had we even heard of any of those people's names before a year or two ago? I don't think so. There's not a star among them. Now, somebody will obviously get the nomination. And they are so far left. Do people really want to eliminate fossil fuel and all some of the other crazy things that they're mentioning? Do people really want open borders? You know, to my way of thinking, it is so crazy. It's like Napoleon said, you know, if your enemy is shooting himself in the head, don't get in his way. But yet, there are others who are saying that Donald Trump is going to be very hard for him to win because the other side is so energized. And in my opinion, at least, they're so dishonest. What do you think?
I think our side is energized. I don't understand why people wouldn't be. The issue of Christians who don't vote is disturbing because I'm such a big fan of Christians. And I defend Christians almost daily on my show. And as a Jew, I have clout in that arena because, you know, I'm not a Christian. And I'm saying, look, my belief, I tell this to Jewish audiences. I tell it to secular audiences. If Christianity fails in America, it's over for America. It's as simple as that. I mean, it's so obvious that I don't believe an honest atheist could debate the issue. So I don't understand when Christians don't vote, for example. It's a puzzle to me. I mean, God doesn't want you to promote good on this planet. It's so foreign to my understanding of what God wants us to do. I mean, it's almost like saying, you know, why should I build a hospital? We're all going to die and go to paradise if we believe properly anyway. Right? I mean, what is the difference between building a hospital and voting? Each is an act of doing good as you understand it in society. So why do anything? Why not just, you know, pray all day?
So you think our side is energized?
I do, but I'm just adding that I am told by my Christian friends that there's still a chunk of Christians who just sit home on election day. So they benefit from all these people before them who fought for America and to have a country whose motto is "In God We Trust," after all, maintain that motto. I mean, if you don't vote, how do you defend Normandy Beach? These people didn't just vote. They got blasted by Nazi machine guns. You know, would they have said, why bother? Why bother fighting a war? It's the same thing. But yes, I do believe in general our side is energized. And I think the left does so much bad that even if you don't want to be energized, they're just constant wake-up calls. As you pointed out, I mean, the positions that they take, they are for open borders. They are essentially for the end of the nation state as we know it. I mean, they didn't use the words open borders, but every one of their positions is for it. Legalize, now the new fancy term, they're Orwell's friends, the left. No longer is there illegal immigrant. You can't even use that, let alone illegal alien. Rather, undocumented immigrant. As I said, they might as well call bank robbers undocumented withdrawals.
That's funny.
Right?
Yeah, you're right. You know, if you go back as far as Truman, the Democrats and the Republicans have switched power in the White House every 8 years with one exception. And that one exception was Jimmy Carter. So the Democrats had it for 4 years, and then with Reagan and Bush, 41, the Republicans had it for 12. But that cycle goes back and forth. In fact, I can remember in this last election, I was aware of that cycle, and I thought it's the Republicans' turn to win. which makes me think that they may get power again in 24. This is assuming that Donald Trump wins this time. Do you think that's likely, or what do you think would happen then?
If Donald Trump wins and some cataclysm that I can't foresee doesn't happen, I mean, there's no major world war or major recession, I think the Republicans, we have a very much stronger bench. I mean, with people like Nikki Haley, just as an example, I don't know how Nikki Haley would lose, to be honest. I think so highly of her, and she's female, and she's brilliant, and she's courageous. And, you know, I'm sure, give me a couple of minutes, I'll come up with a number of equivalent names. They are there. We have a much stronger bench than they do. And as much as Americans may want, time for a change. We had the Republicans for 8 years. After all, they got their change in the House. Are they happy about it? Are they happy the House is Democrat? I mean, does it really help the country? So, look, I'm worried about 2020. I'll worry about 2024 later. But I don't concede that because there's been this pattern, there's an inevitability either that Republicans will win in 2020 or that Democrats would win in 2024 if Republicans did win in 2020.
You know, it's well known that you support Donald Trump. Do you know him personally?
Nope.
Never met him?
Never met him. And while it would be fun, I'm not interested in meeting him. I have never sought to meet powerful figures. And it's conscious. I want to retain my ability to be critical. And it is very hard if you develop a friendship with a person in politics to be critical of them. At least I would find it hard. Have lunch with a guy and then blast him. Or I don't tend to blast people, but you know what I'm saying. So as much as I would enjoy it, I'll tell you what I would like. I would much rather than meet him, I would like to write speeches for him. Because I know how to demolish the left rhetorically. The left is intellectually vapid, and I know how to make that clear to people. So I love debating them. I love writing about this, whether it's my books or my columns or Prager University, you know, where we get 1 billion views a year, and most of them are under 35. So I have practice in how to take on the left, and I want to make something clear. I always make a distinction between left and liberal. Liberals, just to give two big examples, liberals were always pro-Israel. The left was always anti-Israel. Liberals were always pro-integration, racial integration. The left is for black dormitories and black graduations. Those are anti-liberal positions. All of leftism, except for big government, is anti-liberal. The problem is liberals don't know it.
I told someone today that of all of the Orthodox Jews I know, I have never found one to be more friendly to evangelicals. You know, he gets it. He understands who we are and why things are important to us. And why is that? Because he believes in the Bible. He believes in God. In fact, he has written a commentary on the book of Exodus, which I am reading now. My wife has finished it, and then he did another one on the book of Genesis, and he's going to end up doing the 5 books of the Bible. And it is so interesting to read it, and he kind of takes his tone. In fact, I repeated this to him, and he said, "You're exactly right." He says, "This is what the text says. This is what people say that text means. This is what it really means." And it is just very, very interesting to see it from an Orthodox Jewish perspective. He is a man who obviously loves God. He obviously loves this country. I hope you enjoyed this interview. I hope you enjoyed the parts of it in the book that I wrote when you read it later. And I'm so thankful that he agreed to give me an exclusive interview for my podcast. So thank you for listening. Share this with friends. And tune in again to the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. God bless you. This is Stephen Strang. I want to introduce my listeners to Charisma Magazine if you don't already get it. Or if you do get it, you could respond to this special offer and we will continue your subscription into the future. The offer is to give you both of my books on Donald Trump, God and Donald Trump, and the new one, Trump Aftershock. These are a value of just less than $50, plus 2 years of Charisma, which cost around $40, and you can get the whole thing for only $39. Now, let me repeat. You get both of my best-selling books, and 2 years of charisma for only $39. And all you have to do is go to this site, trumpbooks.charismamag.com. I hope you'll take advantage of this offer. Even if you have read the books, you know, it's always nice to have a new book, especially one signed by the author. It makes a good birthday present. Later in the year, it'll make a good Christmas present. And I hope that you'll take advantage of it because it's a good offer and it's my way to try to connect you with charisma and also get more copies of my book out there. I'll repeat it, but the good thing about a podcast is you can back it up and listen to it again. It's trumpbooks.charismamag.com.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.